Well, welcome back to the Max Living Podcast. I'm Dr. Nick Wilson.
I'm Dr. Tracy Gross.
And friends, we have a fun episode for you today. We are talking about detoxification versus cleansing.
Yeah, specifically, we are going into detail talking about the difference between the two, how to detox, how to cleanse, and which one could be the best for you.
Hope you enjoy this episode with me and Dr. Tracy Gross. Well, Dr. Tracy, we're back talking about detoxification versus cleansing.
Yes, let's dive in. Let's talk about the difference.
Happy day, by the way, as a greeting.
Yes, happy day.
All right, so the idea of cleansing versus detoxification, it's an important topic, but I don't feel like a lot of people even consider, like, what is the difference between the two? But they hear things like juicing and detoxification. I think the vast majority of people know that we're exposed to toxins.
Yeah.
Throughout our lifetime. Mm-hmm. And especially over the last couple of episodes, we've kind of made that a, hopefully we've driven home the point that we're exposed to too many toxins.
I think so.
But they hear terms like juice cleansing and colon cleansing and detoxification programs and things like that. And we're going to take a deeper dive into what that means. Mm-hmm. But before we do, why do people engage in cleanses and detoxifications and things like that? Why do people even get into this in the first place? You and I talked about this. We have a pretty good idea of why people engage because we see a lot of patients and we talk about this all day, every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably the most important question to sit with in the beginning, is because if you're going to do something like a detox or you're going to cleanse your body, it takes effort, it takes intention. So you really need to figure out why you're doing it, especially if you want to be successful with it.
Right. And I feel like the driving factor for many people when it comes to cleansing or detoxifying is symptoms, or they have some type of pathological disease or something that it is driving them, whether that's, you know, being overweight, or they've got gut problems or heart problems or diabetes. And a lot of the drivers is symptom, can be symptom related.
Right, right. And I don't think that intention is a bad thing necessarily, because symptoms are hard to deal with. It makes life less enjoyable, and it's definitely something that needs to be addressed. But I think that when it comes to detoxifying your body, there has to be a deeper underlying issue, a bigger why, if you will.
Sure. And I don't want to have brain fog.
Right.
I don't want to have low energy. Right. I don't want to gain weight uncontrollably or have, you know, multiple chemical sensitivities or all these different factors that might drive somebody. But the question about brain fog, the question about multiple chemical sensitivities, or the question about, difficulty with, I don't know, losing weight, is these are all symptoms. And the question is, are those symptoms something that we just want to silence and mute? Is that the goal? Or could these symptoms quite possibly be a symptom of an underlying problem that we want to listen to?
Right.
And pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. And so this idea, are all symptoms always a bad thing? Mm-hmm. And it's a question that, you know, you're listening out there. This is something you really have to consider. Are your symptoms such a bad thing all the time? Or are your symptoms a warning sign? It's very much like a check engine light that goes off in your car, right? We use this analogy a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I've heard you use the analogy about duct tape.
Yes, yes. And actually, I have a personal analogy. I actually just changed my brake pads last weekend.
Wait, did you do that yourself? Or
I did.
No way.
I did.
Yeah. I was joking. You changed your brake pads yourself.
Yes, yes. Well, my dad had oversight over it, but it was one of the requirements before I was allowed to drive at 16. But anyway,
well
that
done.
Aside.
On a Volkswagen too, yes. Huh?
Yeah.
Well done.
So last week sometime I was driving and an indicator light came on in my car and I had no idea what it meant. So I looked it up and it turned out that my brake pads were needing to be changed. So in changing them, I took the pieces off and addressed the problem like I should have, adequately. And the problem was fixed, solved the problem, got to the root of the issue. Now my car runs fine. If I had been driving last week and the indicator light came on and I chose to ignore it, then that would have been bad news. when I changed my brakes, they were like down to the bare minimum. It was bad. So if I had driven on them longer, then I would have had an even bigger issue. It would have been an emergency situation that would have cost me a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money to repair that. But because I paid attention to the indicator light, I was able to avoid even more serious consequences. The analogy that you're talking about that we use a lot in the clinic is if you took it a step further and didn't just ignore the symptom, the indicator light, and you actually covered it up with something, with a piece of duct tape, or in the case of symptoms, with medications, that's going to leave a whole blind spot for you and then lead you down that same road of more serious consequences later.
Yeah, I love it. So you're driving on whatever the interstate, we'll use Interstate 65 since that's like goes directly across the, you know, not across, through the United States, and we're in Indiana, we're crossroads of America. So
crossroads
65 and 70 cross right here. And driving on 65, going 70 miles an hour or whatever, and the indicator light goes off in your car. Do you just take out a piece of duct tape, cover up the check engine light, and keep driving for another 10,000 miles? Of course you don't, right? Because that's going to result in car breaking down. Yet, what do we do with our body? That's exactly what we do with our body. And whether you do that with a natural herb or a, you know, pill that requires some type of prescription, in the world of covering up symptoms without getting to the underlying cause of the problem, it's really the same arena. And so the idea of just covering up your symptoms and not addressing underlying causes will end up being problematic. And that's just kind of a nice way of saying that that will lead to catastrophic problems if we continue down that road.
Right, right.
So are your symptoms a bad thing? Well, maybe not. Maybe that symptom was God's gift to you to say, hey, there's something going wrong. That headache that's saying, hey, you are being exposed to something right now that you shouldn't be exposed to on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. You know, that your inability to, let's say, lose weight, maybe that is a sign of dysfunction or disrupted hormones, or your thyroid's not working as well as it should work. Yeah. Because it's been disrupted. It's been interfered with. Mm-hmm. Over time.
I think that's a big mindset shift that's required before anyone does something like a detox or tries to elevate their health in any way, is not only recognizing that symptoms are not a bad thing, but then going a step further and acknowledging that they may actually be a good thing for you. Mm-hmm.
So this idea of, and these are two different approaches in healthcare, mm-hmm. I believe, is one is this view of the body as a machine that breaks down that needs parts replaced over time. This machine that inevitably needs some outside help in order to function and live to whatever age in good working order. And that idea, it will take some outside intervention over time. That philosophy requires usually some level of treatment, some level of whether it's a medication or it's a surgery or whatever it is, to try to manipulate or trick the body back into health or disrupt certain pathways. Like when you have, let's say we talked about blood pressure right before getting on here, mm-hmm. you know, that high blood pressure. Oh, let's block that pathway. Let's make sure that we disrupt epinephrine is really what it comes down to. It's blocking epinephrine, adrenaline. And so therefore your heart's not going to be as strong against the arterial wall, and poof, it's like magic. Your blood pressure is going to go down. Or, you know, you have that high cholesterol, and without really talking about the underlying contributing factors of inflammation and then what causes inflammation in the body, because that's how cholesterol then responds, is by inflammation. It increases cholesterol. The liver produces more cholesterol. What we say when you have high cholesterol, not we, but in general, American Western allopathic healthcare, is all right. Well, let's block that enzyme production within the liver, that HMG-CoA amylase, right? And so we block that, or I think it's reductase, HMG-CoA reductase. I think I'm trying to remember.
That sounds
from,
right.
Mm-hmm. Physiology. I think that's right. Yep. So we block the production of that enzyme within the liver, so then your body won't produce as much mm-hmm. cholesterol. Mm-hmm. Makes a lot of sense if the outcome is to lower cholesterol on blood work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your numbers look good, but is that what your body actually needs?
It's a different question. is what is health? You know, is it really just good numbers on blood work? Is it really just like every time you put that cuff on your arm that it comes out to less than 120 over 80 and above the other number? Like, is that really the definition of health? And that's something that we have to then peel back and say, okay, well, all right, there's one approach to cover up symptoms. There's one approach to try to trick the body into health. And that might be needed for certain cases. Let's just be real here. If, you know, that person has had a traumatic event and that medicine came in that saved that person's life and opened up, you know, had a triple bypass and now there's multiple stents, or that person truly has a genetic defect, even though 5 to 10%, let me read you something. So this is from Cancer is a Preventable Disease That Requires Major Lifestyle Changes. And this is from PharmaRes 2008, so a peer-reviewed medical journal. It says, only 5 to 10% of all cancer cases can be attributed to genetic defects, whereas the remaining 90 to 95% have their roots in the environmental and lifestyle. Hmm. How often do you hear about that when you're filling out your family history at the doctor's office, right? Mm-hmm. But if you do have a family history of whatever X condition you're given or talked about, how you're at a higher, not only at higher risk, but it's almost like you're, you know, this is a death sentence, or this is like inevitably going to happen to you. There's nothing you can really do about this. You've got this thing inside of your body that it's like a ticking time bomb, just ready to go off, and you have no control whatsoever.
Right, right. And I've talked to so many people who, when they speak of family history and diseases that their loved ones have, it's just like they're just waiting. They're just biding their time. And what kind of way to live is that? Like, in always in this state of anticipation that, well, I'm going to get this anyway. So
you and I are reading this book by Carolyn Leaf, Switch on Your Brain, right? Mm-hmm. And talking about these pathways that develop within your brain, mm-hmm. that can be pathological, catastrophic, just negative thoughts. Just think about that person in this context, believing that they have a genetic ticking time bomb, mm-hmm. inside of them, and there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah.
Just think about that neural pathway that's now developed, that's really strong now, by the way, because that person that they esteem highly in their community, that person in that white coat, affirmed exactly their biggest fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the things that I love that Caroline Leaf talks a lot about is how your brain speaks to your body. Your body speaks to your brain. That happens through the nervous system, by the way.
By the way. Just drop that one.
Yes. But the thoughts that you entertain in your mind literally tell your body what to do. So if you have this underlying thought that's in your subconscious all day long for your whole entire life, that you have this predisposition to a cancer, your body is going to follow suit. Mm-hmm. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
So how does this relate back to cleansing versus detoxification? Mm-hmm. Well, here's the reality is that when you're talking about cleansing and you're talking about detoxification, the intent matters. You know, why you're doing it matters. And what you believe about yourself matters. Mm-hmm. And what you believe about your ability to change your physiology and to cleanse and let your body do what it really is supposed to do, which is cleanse and detoxify, because our bodies are doing that right now. Mm-hmm. Our bodies are built in with this mechanism of detoxification, these pathways of detoxification. Liver, made to detoxify. Kidneys, made to detoxify. Gallbladder is there to help. You've got your whole lymphatic system that aids in detoxification. Your skin is a detoxifying organ. So you have an entire system-wide approach within your body. Your nervous system directs it that is geared towards getting these things out of your body. So these things are already built in within us, inside of us.
Right. So when we talk about the difference between detoxifying and cleansing, we're really approaching it from a standpoint of your body already has everything that it needs. It already has the ability to detox. The reason why we have to, and I say have to kind of loosely, but it's almost a necessity in our day and age now with the amount of toxic exposure that we have from our food and from our products and from our environment. So everything that we're doing is to support an intelligent body. It's not to add, it's not to subtract, but really just to support the already created design.
So when somebody talks about cleansing and in the realm of, hey, I need to do a cleanse, juice cleanse or colon cleanse or whatever it might be. A lot of times that's a short term. It is a brief period of time. Maybe they're going to be fasting for a period of time and only doing juice. And, you know, we'll give you some resources, even in the notes below, we'll give you some resources on how to do like a juice cleanse as an example. There's ways to do it right and there's ways to do it wrong.
Yes.
With juice cleansing, it is very dependent on the juice that you are drinking. And I found that unless you're making these juices at home or getting it from a very pure source that it has been freshly made, you might be doing more harm than good.
Talk about that.
Yeah. Think about this. If you're getting your fruits and vegetables from a non-organic source, okay, and you're blending these guys up, your intent is to detoxify from toxins, it might be. But if you are juicing tons of fruits and vegetables that are sprayed with pesticides and herbicides, and now you are putting those things, let's just call it Roundup, inside of your body that's known to cause cancer, you're trying to do the good thing, I hear you, and you're trying to bathe your organs in nutrients, yet what are you doing? Many times, unfortunately, you can be bathing your body in not just nutrients, but also toxins, and your whole intent was to get rid of toxins. Mm-hmm. And so you see some of these commercial juices that are made and stored and then shipped across the country. And there's problems with that because as soon as you refrigerate it, as soon as you, immediately after you immediately after you make it, don't edit that, Kevin, just leave that in there. Immediately after you make it, you start losing some of the nutrient density and some of the enzymatic activity within that drink. Mm. So now think about you're storing it. And now think about you refrigerating it. The longer that it goes from its natural source and the time that it was produced, the less enzymatic activity you're getting, which you need that enzymatic activity to actually, like when you eat a whole vegetable or a whole fruit or something like that, you're getting a lot of enzymatic activity right there. Mm-hmm. You're biting into an apple. That's exactly how God made it, for it to work inside of you. You juice all of that up, you're going to lose some of those nutrients. You're going to lose some of those. So is juicing good for you? Of course it is. If it's done right and if it's done ideally at home or as close to its production process as possible, but it cannot be something that's going to make you more toxic. Mm-hmm. Right? And it might be cheaper just to get the thing from the grocery store. That's another common problem with juicing is people say it takes too long or it costs too much or I'm throwing away all this pulp. Well, you can use that pulp. Mm-hmm. You can bake with it. Mm-hmm. There's lots of ways. You can use it in your compost pile.
Yeah. What's the best thing to do if you do feel like you are short on time one day and you have to get a juice from a grocery store? What are you looking out for?
Let's back up just a minute. So the best thing that you can do is you can juice and then you can save it for a couple of days. And one of the things that people do, and I think this is a good idea, is you can freeze it, you know, in the ice containers that you can make at home, yeah. Ice trays. Mm-hmm. You can actually pour that juice in the ice trays and you can make like ice balls that are actually made from juice. You can actually put a popsicle stick in there and give it to the kids. And now they've got a juice popsicle.
Oh, that's perfect.
Of real juice, right? Mm-hmm. So those are easy ways to just keep it, because when you end up freezing it, you're still going to save a lot of the enzymatic activity and the nutrients. But if you are on the go, let's say, there's other, like manufacturers have done a good job with this about, flash drying nutrients, like R-Max greens as an example. You know, it's a powder form and you've got green superfoods, wheatgrass, chlorella, you've got reishi mushroom. So it's all organic nutrients, non-GMO. You put water, shake it up. You know, you've got immune boosting properties in there. You've got energy boosting properties. Some people do this in the afternoon because it's like the quick pick me up without, you know, coffee.
Oh yeah. Right? That's good. Right. That's good.
But the reality is if you're on the go grabbing something from the grocery store and finding something that's going to have, you know, the same benefits as, you know, juicing or something like that, slim to none.
Right.
So this idea of just health on the go or quick fix is something I would question.
Yeah. If you're going to be intentional about your health, you have to be intentional about your routines as well.
Routines. Mm-hmm. Very important, those routines are.
Yes. Maybe we'll talk about that another time.
Yeah. Okay. So cleansing. That's so we've covered like cleansing. Cleansing is usually like a period of time, you know, whether it's juice cleansing, you're supporting the body's natural detoxification pathways, loading up with antioxidants and enzymes and vitamins and minerals to support what already exists. Detoxification is a little different. And detoxification is you are targeting intentionally certain things that don't belong there to pull them out. Mm-hmm. And many times detoxification involves some level of binders or some level of bulk that's then going to attract some of those like heavier, let's say metals or heavier toxins that can then bind and then pull out. That's more of a targeted approach when you know you've been exposed and whether you've been exposed and you can see that on a certain test. It's hard to see these on tests, especially if it's chronic exposure. Just as an example, like urine, you're going to see recent exposures in urine because your body's detoxing it. And so you're going to see that show up in urine. Blood work oftentimes doesn't show chronic exposures either. Unless you're doing some type of, you know, chelating or binding agent like EDTA or DMSA or something like that to like bind and then pull these out in the urine, then you're going to see it. The problem is toxins are heavier. They are sticky. They stay in the body. They bioaccumulate. And then it's hard with traditional testing to even see if they exist mm-hmm. in the body. Mm-hmm. But many people are having all these weird symptoms. We keep mentioning, you know, multiple chemical sensitivities. Well, that's diagnosed many times as something like fibromyalgia. That's diagnosed as chronic fatigue syndrome a lot of times. That's diagnosed in weird ways that you would never link it back. Like someone's getting blood pressure issues. And as somebody who's starting to develop blood sugar problems or they can't sleep, so now it's insomnia. You know, you get all these mm-hmm. different symptoms that which really are not going to be linked back to these chemicals that are in the body or toxins that are in the body that really shouldn't be.
Mm. All right. So the direction that we're going here, and I love that we're connecting these dots, is that now we have this bioaccumulation, toxic buildup, and it's manifesting as symptoms for which the solution that we are sold is the duct tape.
The duct tape.
Mm-hmm. Is masking it. Is a pharmaceutical or even a supplement that isn't going to get to the heart of the issue. So you talked a lot about different testing, blood work, urinalysis. Those things are not something that an individual could go to their maybe primary care physician and get those levels tested. Is that correct?
Right. So most of the time it's a specialty testing. Okay. This is you're working with like a max living doc or somebody who does more advanced testing in order to find out if you really want to find out. But the reality is, and we test hundreds of people, 99 out of 100 are toxic. And there's various levels of toxicity.
So 99% of people are toxic.
And I would even say if we tested 1,000, it'd probably mm-hmm. be 995. You know what I mean? So it'd be the point, though, is that you can almost assume if you're living in this industrial world, you're living in the Western world, and you've not been perfect or live in a bubble your mm-hmm. entire life, that you have probably accumulated a level of toxicity within your body. And it would be appropriate to assume that cleansing or detoxifying would be maybe a good place to start. You might want to test if you have, you know, whatever, various levels of problems that you want to really dig down deep and really want to have a more customized approach to your detoxification process and know exactly what nutrients you individually need. And that would be a good idea for a lot of people. But for most people, they should start with, hey, let's make sure that the food that I'm eating is not making me toxic. Mm-hmm. I'm not eating foods that are sprayed. I'm not juicing with things that have had been sprayed or genetically modified. I'm going to make sure I'm drinking plenty of water, right? I'm going to make sure that I am minimizing toxins from lifestyle exposure on a regular basis. And you can go back to the previous couple of episodes where we talk about cosmetics and cleaning products and things like that. And knowing that you've been exposed, it'd be appropriate to start with a cleanser detox, mm-hmm. right? With a specific detoxification, either program or supplement, you want to make sure that it's targeted. Two parts. One would be like the cell. You got to target it at the cell level. So glutathione precursors and nutrients to open up the pathways within the liver to allow your body to pull out toxins. Make sure those pathways are not congested or clogged. That's why I like the cell detox within our detox system, because it does just that. And then the second part has got to be some level of bulking or binding. A light version of that that's not going to cause mineral problems is activated charcoal. You might have heard of activated charcoal to help with binding. So it's not just activated charcoal. There's so many different other nutrients in here with psyllium husk and flaxseed powder, and there's even this botanical blend that will open up some of those pathways. But one of the problems with detoxification, if there's no binders or anything to bulk up the stool, because that's really what ends up happening, is that toxins can get bound to the colon. Hmm. And this is how the colon can become very toxic and very sick. Mm-hmm. And toxicity can, when unfortunately the colon becomes toxic, there's a big inflammatory, and unfortunately it's sometimes a catastrophic inflammatory process that starts happening within the colon, lead to all kinds of colon trouble and colon problems. So that's why I like the detox system, because it's two part. It's a cell detox and the body detox, bulking, and then provide the elimination. So now you're not getting this toxic bucket that's overflowing within the body, that you have these binders to help pull that out. That's the difference of like a targeted detoxification versus like a cleansing, if you will.
Okay. Okay. Would you say that one of them, detox versus cleansing, was more of just an everyday lifestyle?
So cleansing is more of just everyday lifestyle, helping those pathways to be wide open. You know, you're chronically exposed to certain things. And so we've got a product called Max Cleanse. Like, you can take that on a regular basis. And if you want to juice, great. But this would be one of those things you can do on a regular basis just to keep those pathways open. It's healthy. It does have some level of activated charcoal in it too, so it can help. But it's very light compared to the detox system. So let's just say with the detox system, there's going to be a greater rate of elimination. And you get what I mean by that.
Yes, yes. I think we all understand what that means.
Yeah, how do you get toxins mm-hmm. out of your system?
Yeah, it's got to come out somehow.
You got it. Okay, so there will be a greater rate of elimination with the detox system. So really, that's the general differences between detox and cleanse. But remember, your body is doing this already on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. We remove the interferences and let the body do what it's supposed to do, which is heal and function at its absolute best. And that also means detoxify at its greatest capacity.
Right, right. So we could take detoxifying measures with the intent of addressing symptoms, but we have to understand that that is not the sole cause. The idea is, just like you said, Dr. Olson, supporting the body to do what it's naturally already supposed to do. That's the intent, because then once you get all of those toxins out, your body is working at its optimum level.
So I hope you enjoyed this episode. For more information, go to maxliving.com and subscribe to the show, rate the show so you never miss a beat. Any of the things that we talked about today will be in the show notes. Thanks, guys. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you next time.